Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of CHOP Weekly. Thanks so much for joining us on the Rutgers social media channels, the Rutgers football social media channels. Chris Carlin, joined as always by Eric LeGrand. Great to have you with us, E. How you doing, bud?
Doing awesome, Chris. As always, how are you?
Doing great, but not quite as good as the Rutgers field hockey team. What a job by Meredith Civico and company, as the Scarlet Knights are the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. And they will play on Friday, the winner of the Delaware Fairfield game at 11 a.m. This coming yesterday after their Big Ten championship tournament win, 1-0 over Michigan. Outstanding job by those young ladies.
Really is outstanding. You know, I'm flipping back and forth between Sunday football and the Big Ten Network, watching them. I flip it on right after the goal happened, and I was like, this is amazing. And then it looked like they played lockdown defense for the rest of the game, because that team is, they're just special. If you've been following them all year long, like I've been doing on social media and whatnot, it's just, it seemed like a group of people that just love and enjoy playing with each other and have a lot of fun. And you know, I've gotten to have relationships with Gianna Mancini, who's a part of the Grand Coffee House team, and just to see how they're, you know, continuing to grow that program is, it's special.
It's really is. And at the same time, still another mountain to climb here with the NCAA tournament. Very excited for their opportunity here with the tournament and trying to advance and potentially win a national championship. And then you've got the women's soccer team, E, who right now is waiting their NCAA fate where they're going to be playing. They're most certainly going to be in the tournament. They fell short yesterday to Michigan, 1-0 in the Big Ten championship game after winning the regular season conference championship. And later today, 4:30 p.m. on NCAA.com is the selection show. But again, the Rutgers women's soccer program has really put together a tradition of excellence.
They really have. Year after year after year, you give credit where credit's due. They are respectfully one of the best programs in the country, year after year, and what they continue to do year in and year out with their recruiting and the way that they develop their players. And as you see now, they're winning Big Ten championships throughout the regular season, going undefeated. And let's not forget about that. Their first loss in the Big Ten this year was in the championship game. So that is something to be said about this team and what Mike O'Neill and his coaching staff is doing over there, because year after year, they're continuing to make noise. And I'm sure we'll see them going pretty far in this tournament coming up too.
Our congratulations to them, and we will be following them through the NCAA tournament. Meanwhile, the Rutgers football program suffered a tough loss the other day at the hands of Wisconsin. Scarlet Knights are now 4-5 on the season, and in just moments, we're going to hear from head coach Greg Schiano in his weekly news conference, and they take on Indiana this coming week. That is now a noon start out in Bloomington, Indiana, this coming week on Big Ten Network. That was just announced a little while ago. That game had been placed on a 6-day hold. But Eric, the other day, just one of those days where the physicality of Wisconsin was just a little bit too much for Rutgers, and some turnovers early did them in.
Yeah, I think it was the turnovers early, because if you watched the beginning of the game, and you probably heard us on the radio, especially me, Rutgers was thumping out there on the defense. They were, it was the 24-3 at one point, but you're looking, you're saying, the defense isn't playing all that bad, you know. They're doing pretty well. Obviously, they got set up in short fields with the turnovers. Wisconsin was starting inside the 35-yard line, and the Scarlets were still making plays, forcing, you know, Aaron kicks on a field goal game. So it was, you know, obviously the score is 52-3 at the end of the day. But you saw a team that was playing. They were playing, you know, in the very beginning. But turnovers, when you play a team like Wisconsin, they capitalize on that type of stuff. Every mistake that you make, good teams, they find a way to make you pay for it. And that's what the Badgers did that on Saturday. And unfortunately, it got out of hand a little bit early. And, you know, it is what it is after that. But I will say I was impressed in the very beginning of the game, the way that defense was playing.
Well, here's the good news. Everything is still there for what the Scarlet Knights want to achieve this season, and that's to get to a bowl game with three games left. If you can win two of those games, you will get to bowl eligibility. Rutgers will have Indiana on the road this week. The Hoosiers are 2-7 on the season. They're struggling right now, having dropped 5 straight. Then Scarlet Knights will take a trip to Penn State. That will also be a noon game on Saturday, November the 20th, before they close out the regular season at home on Thanksgiving weekend against Maryland. So if you can find two wins in those three games, you get to 6-6, you're likely headed to the postseason at that point.
And that's what the goal was. You know, it's year two of the rebuilding process. I remember looking at the schedule in the beginning of the year and you're saying there could be six wins where you can find them. And the coolest part about it is there's three games left and they need two. It's not like you win every single one. You need two out of these three. And there's ways to do it. Obviously, Indiana is struggling right now. The quarterback situation is kind of up and down in the air week to week and whatnot, panics. But still, the way that the Star Scholar program go on the road, they know how to win on the road, Chris. We've seen it done, you know, now a good amount of times in these past 2 years. You're going to play an Indiana team that's struggling. That's the one where you got to find a way to get a win. And then you see Penn State. You know, they're not, you know, they're going through their little rough patches right now, too, after starting off strong. So, hey, you never know what could happen there. And then Maryland at home, which is the way that you want to close out the season, you know, with a fellow new member of the Big Ten as well coming in around the same time as us. So I think the Scarlet Knights have everything in front of them. It's up to them now how they go and attack. And I believe Coach Chan on the staff, to get the guys ready.
Well, you know, Eric, first of all, for Indiana, they're coming off a 29-7 loss at Michigan the other day, and they have had their struggles offensively. You mentioned Michael Penix Jr., who's been out with an injury. He's been week to week, but the issue has not been able to get taken care of since the last 5 weeks. That's when it happened. He had apparently an AC joint injury in his shoulder. He's a very talented guy, there's no question. This past week, they started a freshman in Donovan McCulley for the second time. They lost their backup, Jack Tuttle, to an injury as well. So they're on to their third quarterback at this point with an offensive line that has struggled this season as well.
Exactly. So when you see that, Chris, you know, obviously when you get a new quarterback in there, you want to rattle them. You want to, you know, whether that's bringing pressure on them or if you can get them with your four, you're mixing up their coverages, disguising things, trying to see, okay, I see this, but then they move at the end of the, you know, at the beginning of the cadence. It messes with freshmen. Freshmen coming in the game, you try to learn so much as you can as possible. You only played two games as a starter. There still could be a whole world, especially when you're getting game playing out for the week. So it's gonna be interesting to see what the Scarlet Knights do with knowing that you have a younger guy back there. Do they try to blitz him early and get him off of his kilter? Do they try to, you know, relax and disguise the coverage and mess with him a little bit, try to get some interception? So I'm excited to see what the staff comes up with this week. Usually after a game like that, what happened this week, they're going to be hungry to go out there and play again, which we have seen in the past.
We'll hear from Coach here coming up in just a moment in his weekly news conference. If you're watching, by all means, check in on the comments. Let us know where you're watching and listening from, and we will get your comments up on the screen to let us know where you are right now. Meanwhile, the other question for Rutgers is the status right now of both Aaron Cruikshank, who got banged up the other day, and Noah Vedral as well, who took a pretty good shot late in that game. And we'll find out from Coach here in a few minutes, get the very latest on that. I'm sure that'll be one of the first questions in this news conference. But here's the good news for Rutgers. They have gotten some significant playing time here for both Evan Simon and Cole Snyder. And those two guys look comfortable in running the offense right now.
Yeah, when your starter goes down, and Noah, we know he's a soldier, he's a warrior, but can only take so many hits at a time that it's going to, you know, catches up to you sometimes. But now that these guys are getting in there, I mean, I'm sure they're getting more reps during the week now as well. It's huge for them because they need those reps. When you do the mental reps, yes, that's good, but being able to get in there, actually run the offense so you can actually, as you just mentioned, feel comfortable. Knowing if my first route is not there, I can go to my second route, third option, things like that. It's huge for these guys to get this experience at Coach Snyder and Evan back there. I think it's going to be doing good from knowing that they've been able to play in games now. So, you know, hopefully, you know, Noah's back there, but if those other guys are in there, we'll see. And then also keep on developing Gavin Wimsmith.
You know, Eric, you watch what happened the other day, and then you're trying to get that out of your system. As you're a player 2 days later and you're focusing on the next week, what was your way of getting maybe what you considered a game that you weren't happy with behind you quickly and kind of moving on from it?
Yeah, and the first thing is on Monday when you come You got to get rid of, we call it your guts. That's all the game plan from the week before. Get them out of that, out of your game book as quick as possible. Shred them and get your new set of games and start to look at it. It's really when you really turn a page when you get the new game plan for the following weekend. It's always on a Monday after you go through the corrections on Sunday, and you come back on Monday and you're off day. Get your new game plan in there. And then it's kind of okay. I can focus on this. And then anything else I need to handle offside or outside of the Hale Center, you know, the football facility, whether that's academically and things of that nature, things I need to get taken care of. Maybe around the house and just take your mind away from everything that happened that Saturday. We went through the corrections on Sunday. Now it's Monday here. It's a new week. I got to get myself prepared for the following game coming up because South football is like you can either win or lose big or little on a Saturday. But then 2 days later, you got to flip the switch and get ready for something else that's coming your way. So it's being able to adjust on the fly.
We've heard Coach talk about the fact that when you get to, you know, 4, 5, 6 games into the season, everybody's a little bit banged up at that point, given just how physical, especially the Big Ten Conference can be, Eric. When we talk about taking care of your body and getting ready for the following week while still getting all of your reps in, what are the important factors there?
I mean, the biggest thing is when you're finding time to get in those ice tubs, working with your training staff, working with the strength and conditioning staff, because you don't realize you are still lifting during the season. You're not lifting to, like, gain mass. You're lifting to maintain that mass that you've gained all summer long and all in the off season. So still being able to get those reps in a way. Or then when you're done, the recovery part of it is huge. Going to get those massages, going to sit in the ice baths, going to get the stim, all the different treatments that you need to find where you, maybe you can't get that extra, you know, hour nap because you got to go take care of yourself in the treatment room with your ankle and your knee. And this time of year in November, Chris, I can't harp on how crucial those hours in the training room are because you are beat and battered and banged up. It's a long season. Bruises in places that you never even knew that you had.
And at the same time, you've got an awful lot on your plate here academically because you're really starting to hit crunch time when it comes to getting down the stretch, papers, exams, everything coming up.
Yeah, try to walk into the class and try to find a comfortable seat. That's the hard part. When you walk into class limping and everything, you're like, all right, where can I post up where I can sit?
Do we have any recliners in here?
Exactly. Let's sit comfortably and try to still focus on my academics. That's a whole other part of it as well where you have to literally shift your mind. That's why I always say as college athletes, man, you go from being a young boy into a man or a young woman into a lady because of how much you have to be able to focus on so many different things and give your 100% effort into it. It is not easy, but it makes you grow fast and it matures you in ways that you never knew that you could mature. So that's why I commend all the athletes that do it because you go from focusing on treatment and you go from practice. I get my weight room session. Oh, got a paper that's told I'm going to get my study hall hours and got to do this. You know, it's just so much that's going on that they're doing on the fly. But once you start doing it over and over and over, it just becomes your normal routine.
Well, 3 games left for the Scarlet Knights in the regular season. It begins this coming Saturday on the road at Indiana before they go on the road to Penn State. Both of those are going to be noon games. And then they close out the regular season at home against Maryland Thanksgiving weekend. It is all there for Rutgers, a chance to get to the postseason, to get to a bowl game, and to get more development time as well. Let's hear from the coach, Craig Schiano.
Guys, sorry about my tardiness. I had some things that came up that I couldn't not handle at the time. So appreciate you being patient. Jimmy, give him an extra couple questions. How's that big? I know it's a big day coming off that weekend. Not a great weekend for our team, obviously, but really a great weekend for 2 of our women's sports teams. Our women's soccer team got all the way to the finals and then lost a really tough game, and then our women's field hockey team won the Big Ten championship, and I think that's the first championship tournament that we've won. So women's soccer won the regular season championship and got to the finals, and then field hockey won the tournaments. That's awesome, right? I mean, that's something that when we got into the Big Ten, we set out to win championships as a university, and from afar, I got to witness it, and now to be part of it is exciting to me. And now we got to do our part in football, and that's what we do. We're relentlessly trying to do that. After last weekend, it could be you know, discouraging, but it's not to me. It's disappointing, but it's not discouraging. We just need to keep working, you know, as we say, keep chopping, and it'll work. We have some injuries we're going to have to overcome. I don't know a lot of the, you know, definitive will they play, won't they play. But if they play, it'll be on limited practice. So that worries me. I don't care how good a player you are. But, you know, I know they won't go out there tomorrow and practice, which is our padded practice. So, yeah, it's concerning. But that's why you build depth, and that's why young guys got to be ready to step up. And sometimes they're not young guys. Sometimes they're you know, guys that have been here for a little bit, and now they get their opportunity. So I'll try to answer any questions about that the best I know.
Greg, are there any guys you can definitely rule out? Specifically Aaron, it didn't look good on the replay.
Yeah, Aaron Cruikshank is out for the season. I really feel bad for him because he came back from his shoulder injury that he sustained, and then he had a knee injury that he's going to need surgery for. So, yeah, that's I feel really bad. He's such a competitor and such a great representative for us. But you know what? We'll surround him. We'll help him through it, and he'll heal. You know, medicine being as good as it is now, he'll be back. He's gonna have a change in kind of goals right now for a little bit. Until he gets back to playing.
Greg, do you have any update on Noah?
Noah is, you know, I think Noah's going to progress during the week. I think he'll be available. I can't tell you that for sure.
How do you kind of handle the quarterback reps with that uncertainty?
Well, Sean and I, you know, right now we're in the midst of game planning, so we're kind of game planning generically, but in about 40 minutes, we'll kind of just make some personnel decisions. And then I think that play calls will kind of get funneled to whoever it is that we think will be the starter. But again, there's no science to it because Noah may be fine. And, you know, then I think we have a little broader base plan. Noah really understands the offense by far the best. And then it kind of experience level drops there.
With this current group of offensive line that you've been starting these last couple games?
You know, we actually, I mean, I know some of the runs were when the game was out of hand, so I really don't judge that. But early in the game, we ran the ball more effectively than a lot of people have against them. So I was pleased with that. I thought Pop ran hard. I thought Kyle ran hard. I thought the O-line opened up some holes. I thought offensively, schematically, Sean did some things in his staff that gave us a chance to run the ball. So that really wasn't one of my biggest concerns. You know, like we doubled the average yards they allow or close to it on the ground. You know, the turnovers are the whole story. To me, that's the game.
How do you prepare for Indiana with the uncertainty at quarterback? I'm thinking that the true freshman might start, but Penix has said that he wants to play again. How do you prepare for him with a little bit of uncertainty?
It definitely is a factor. It's a great question, Sarge, because they are uniquely different depending who's playing. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They literally, when you watch them last week, they're different. So you just try to do your best. You make some assumptions, but you better be ready for everything, right? That's really, you know, we've been here before. Over the years, that's happened many a time, and you try to find out as much as you can. But, you know, coach has been around a while. He's not gonna be volunteering information. Coach Allen's coached this game a long time, and he knows how to play it close to the vest. So we'll do our best to be ready for whatever they come out and do. And the good thing for us is the mix we get from our own offense, from our season in the Big Ten, and then the last 2 weeks, we've basically seen it all except, you know, true wishbone football. So we have at least a background in a lot of it. But when you look at what their current quarterback does, it's a lot of quarterback run game. It's quarterback gap schemes, which really are different, right? That changes the math in a big way. And gap schemes are when you pull people. It's a down, 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 pull people around, and then the quarterback follows. There's usually fakes off it to make you, you know, go defend other things. And then here comes this big 6'5" quarterback running downhill who runs like a running back. He gets down, is behind his pads. He's a physical runner. So, yeah, it'll be a challenge.
Greg, recently it seems like you guys have been struggling to pressure opposing quarterbacks. What would you chalk that up to, and is there any plans in the future to draw up a couple more blitzes?
I agree. Statistically, we haven't gotten the sacks. I look at, I love sack. I love sack fumbles more than sacks. But I look, are we putting pressure on the quarterback? Are we affecting the throw? That's what I look at. We haven't been doing it enough. Will we put more blitzes in? I don't know. I'd like to find ways to, we blitz already, you know, so for us to say more blitzes. But third down, what I have found, you know, we're doing a good job on third down statistically on defense, as far as getting off the field. So, you know, that's when you're really designing pass rush type blitzes. First and second down, we've played some teams that can really run the ball. So we better make sure we're sound on the run. And then when they run play action pass, we got to find a way to convert. And that's something I think we have to improve on as a defensive line. We're playing the run initially, convert to a pass rush move, and be effective in doing it. But that's something we're working on.
The offensive numbers, I know numbers aren't everything, but yards per play, it's all basically equal to last season. Why do you think it is that it hasn't translated to points this year?
I think the takeaways are way down. And if you look at the field, there was a lot of short fields last year. There's not as many short fields. And if you don't hit big plays, then you have to really execute at a high level for a long time to score. Short fields make it easier to score. So we haven't taken the ball away as well as we did a year ago. So that's something we need to do in these. You know, I thought when we got that early one, that was going to break the seal and away they go. But that was it. We only got that one.
How is your kind of approach to navigating this program through a rebuild, kind of the highs and lows, compared to the first time that you were ended it, and considering that you now have that experience of having gone through it before?
Yeah, experience is a good thing, for sure. The only thing the first time is, you know, when you don't know what you don't know, you just keep swinging harder and harder. And sometimes you're swinging harder, harder into the wrong direction. But that's a beauty of youth, right? Experience, though, I think, outweighs that. At least I hope it does, because, you know, I not only my own experience, but a lot of the coaches on our staff have been through it. So we're moving in the right direction. We just got to keep it going. You know, I told you, coming out of Northwestern, the tip of the plane was kind of, then we kind of pulled it up, and then this one really in, and we got to pull it up again, right? That's the consistency is what lacks in a program when you're building it. When you get it going, then that consistency is something that, you know, because it becomes the expectation. It's not a, you know, it's not the exception when you win a game in the Big Ten, right? That becomes the expectation. We haven't gotten there yet.
You won a couple games away from home. Is there something about this group that likes playing on the road?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it may have to do a little bit of no disrespect to the teams we played on the road, but we played some really good teams at home, so some of that is probably schedule.
Getting back to when you talk about the inconsistency, can you kind of tell going into a game or afterwards, like, it's not going to go well this week, or hindsight, you can realize where things went wrong?
You know what? You think you can as a coach, more in hindsight. I knew that was going to happen because of this. You know, Bear Bryant didn't know. I remember when Coach Bryant was alive, Coach Paterno had told the story that Bear told him once, he said, look, I stopped trying to figure that out years ago. I don't know if we're going to be any good today. Every game's its own event. And I think that's where I am. A long time ago, I kind of, because I heard that Coach Paterno say that, I just try to take every game and try to do our very best, prepare the best we can, and then coach it the best we can. And, you know, there are ebbs and flows, momentum. Football is a game of momentum. And trying to manage those shifts and maybe even create a few of those shifts is a coach's job. And there's sometimes I've done a good job at that. And then sometimes I look back and say, man, I should have done this or that. But, you know, I'm sure we all have that. These are the two bonus, right? That's what I thought.
Without Kroshank, kick return, would it be continue to be Chris Long, and could Youngblood get a little bit more of a and then I guess on punt return would continue to be Avery Young?
Those are all good questions. I'm going to have to talk with our special team staff. We've done them all, so we can probably use whoever we'd like. Some of that has to do with what scheme you're going to use, you know, and then you try to fit, you know, this scheme is what we have the best chance of executing with the other 10 guys. So now maybe this guy's the best returner or that guy's the best returner. And then sometimes it doesn't matter. You just put the best returner, period.
Is there anything that you've seen that caused the tackling to at times to become inconsistent?
Well, some of the people changed, right? Because injuries occurred. So maybe they weren't quite the same level tacklers as the starters were. I think it shouldn't matter, right? You should play every play exactly the same. But I think people get a little weary when the score is what it is. And, the old me would never, ever admit that. But I think that's human nature. And that's where you have to really motivate your guys to play. And some of it is, when we went back and looked at it, there's a lot of things that shouldn't have been. But we just didn't execute the way that we practiced. Do they have something to do with it? Sure they do. They make you think a little bit, oh, maybe I got to do this or maybe I got to do that, when they're really good. And you don't. You need to do your job. And that's our whole thing, right? Chop your job. And if we can stay focused on that, coaches and players alike, I think we have a chance to be successful every week. And as crazy as it is when you have a 52-3 game, but you look back and some of the reasons things happened didn't have to happen, but they did. That's why you win and lose games, right? There's two teams, and I know only one can win, and we certainly didn't. So I will, I'll see you guys later in the week. I appreciate you again covering us and look forward to getting out to Indiana and trying to win a football game.
All right. The words of head coach Greg Schiano. And first of all, Eric, very disappointing to hear for Aaron Cruickshank that his season comes to an end, unfortunately going to need knee surgery. Only had the one play the other day against his former school in Wisconsin on that kick return and suffers a severe knee injury. And disappointing for a young man that has been such a big part of the program over the last year and a half. He does have 1 year of eligibility left, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you want somebody, especially when they're going against their old team, you want to have a coming out party. You want to go off against them. And when he got the ball, you see he had that burst that it was there. But then unfortunately got wrapped up, the wrong way in his knee. So he's already been up and down with his injuries this year. So you hope that he can heal up in this offseason, like Coach Shannon said, change his goals and the mindset of what he wanted to do and just kind of get yourself ready to be able to play football again next year. But, yeah, you hate to see a guy like that go down.
As far as Noah Vedral, Coach said he thinks he'll have him available later in the week. And, if Noah is good to go, he will start in that game. And you would think that, the amount of experience that he has, even if you can't get out there earlier in the week, he's certainly more than familiar, as Coach talked about, his understanding of the offense really far and above what they need out there and does a tremendous job in regards to that. So if there's anybody here in this situation that could start with a little bit less practice time, you think it would be Noah Vedral?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a little bit. He's an older guy now. He's a veteran. He's one of those guys that you say he doesn't need every single practice rep with him. Now, I don't know his academic schedule, but I don't know, the way I think I do now. He'll be living in that training room all week long. He'll be in there hours upon hours doing whatever type of treatments that he needs to get his body prepared to go out there on Saturday because, honestly, they need him because, as you just said, the complexity of the offense, he has full control of it, and there's no restraints on him on what he can and can't do out there. The only thing that might hold him back maybe is physically, if he's able to run or whatnot, but I know he'll be living in that training room for hours upon hours this week trying to get ready for Saturday.
You heard Coach talk about Michael Penix Jr., who has been out, their starting quarterback for Indiana. And as we told you, Jack Tuttle, their backup, went out with a foot injury as well. And then this past week, it was Donovan McCulley, true freshman, who started for the second consecutive game. Penix has been week to week, wants to return this year, but you could kind of read between the lines there. There's a big difference in what they do. Didn't even need to read between the lines. Coach made that very clear between having Penix on the field and McCulley as well.
Absolutely. You said, one guy, 6'5", is going to try to run. He's a young guy, Brian, so he's going to use his legs a little bit more. And, Penix, though, the AC joint, that's an issue now knowing, okay, if he does play, how do we go after? Like, do we, you want to get him on the ground? Like, is he comfortable even throwing the ball? Is there any restraint when you see him throwing the ball? So as coach, it's funny because you know these coaches sit in their offices and they go over, it's just human nature, all the different scenarios in their head of what can happen. If they do this, okay, what are we going to do? If we're going to do that, what can we do if we're going to do that? As coach said, sometimes you just got to go out there and play your defense, play your football, know exactly what their scheme is, but at the end of the day, you're still playing your defense and you're lining up to what reads that you have set up for your defense. Because it kind of might be a situation like that, because if they're sitting in there scratching their heads all week long, okay, if this happens, this, then we got to do that. If this happens, we got to do that. And it kind of messes up from the coach's staff all the way down to the players. So Coach Shannon has learned about that, and I'm sure it'll be more simplified than we think.
And then lastly, the thing that stuck out was talking about the pass rush and not just the sack numbers, but wanting to affect the throw and how important that is, and Coach putting an emphasis on that to be a bigger factor for Rutgers defensively.
Absolutely. So a lot of times, you know, everyone wants the sack fumble, that, you know, the big play to get the guys pressure, but you don't realize you could also disrupt the pass rusher by closing that pocket, caving him in there, making him feel the how everything is closing in, because when the passer goes to throw, then he's short arms because he feels like he can't all the way throw his arm, or he's going to hit his hand on the back of one of his offensive linemen's helmet or things like that. So there are ways, if you're not exactly beating your man to run past him, to still be able to get your bull rush on and be able to collapse that pocket and close it in. And even if all four have to work in tune like that, where they, not everyone's getting home to the quarterback, closing in and caving that pocket and making that quarterback feel very uncomfortable back there, that's always effective. And getting your hands up, disrupting plays, knocking that ball down, batting at the line of scrimmage. There's many ways to disrupt the quarterback, even if you're not getting their home on every play.
Well, just a couple of reminders. First of all, as we told you earlier, congratulations to the field hockey team. You heard Coach talk about that a little bit. They are Big Ten tournament champions, and they are the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. They're going to play on Friday at 11 a.m., and that will be against the winner of the Delaware game against Fairfield. And then you have the women's soccer team. Came up a little bit short in the tournament championship, but won the regular season Big Ten championship. And Mike O'Neill and company find out where they will be playing in the NCAA tournament this afternoon, 4:30 p.m. on NCAA.com. You can watch the selection show there. So that's going to do it for us this week on CHOP Weekly. It is Rutgers at Indiana in Bloomington Saturday, 12 noon on the Big Ten Network, and of course on the Rutgers Sports Network. Enjoying this season with the calls all year long. We've had a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to it this week. Three more big games for Rutgers as they get an opportunity here to get to the postseason if they can win two of them. E, have a great week, bud.
Hey, you as well, Chris. Saturday.
All right. Everybody else, thanks so much for joining us this week on CHOP Weekly. Rutgers in Indiana, Saturday, 12 noon in Bloomington. Enjoy your week.